I'm with Sarah Blackman today, who is working with Dr. Steve Eskow, whom we've had in a previous podcast, and I thought it was really great to be able to get a chance to talk to Sarah, because I also met Sarah face-to-face in the late 90s when we were talking about the early years of online community, and Sarah was a great grounding presence in the conversations, and it's great to get to reconnect with you, Sarah, and hear a little bit about your work in Ghana and the role of social media in that work. To start us off, would you tell us a little bit about yourself and your current work?
Currently, I'm a full-time student in the doctoral program at the Fielding Graduate University, where you have many friends, so I haven't really lost touch with you over the years. I am studying not only social media, but really globalization and how it affects people in rural areas and towns in West Africa. And that will probably emerge into a dissertation topic that has to do with how women in the towns and villages are using their cell phones. We know that there are a lot of cell phones and that many of them are in the hands of women, but we don't know what they're doing with them, what they'd like to be doing with them, how feasible it all is to try to make some use of that social medium for things other than just talking to your grandmother. That's what I'm doing out of a background in big-time book publishing, distance learning, learning to collaborate online, and so forth.
Today I'm with Sarah Blackman, who is going to share with us a little bit about her work with social media in Africa. And I'm really intrigued to have Sarah here because I met her years ago at the early days of online communities and found her to be a very grounding presence, and it's great to be able to reconnect. So welcome, Sarah, and tell us a little bit about what you're up to these days.
Thank you, Nancy. One thing I'm up to is getting a doctorate at the Fielding Graduate University, and the work that I'm doing in West Africa is very much connected to what I'm doing in my studies. As is the best possible arrangement, I think I am able to study in a way that wraps around what I'm doing in Ghana. And what I'm doing in Ghana has to do with several different kinds of media, not just social media. One of the things I'm doing is working with a network of Presbyterian churches to promote the idea that it would be good for village women, village families, village children, village men to stop using kerosene to light their homes and to start using a substance that isn't polluting, dangerous, and that it might burn your house down, very bad for children and their upper respiratory health. This is really Steve's concept, that the churches form a natural network, that they're accustomed to doing good for the people who come to them and the villagers around them, and that this is a great untapped resource for development. Now, there are, of course, faith-based organizations that are involved in development. Lots of them are very large and are more top-down than we have in mind. What we're doing is trying to develop from the ground up in congregations and the people who attend those congregations the expertise to be able to distribute and service different kinds of media, starting with a simple, inexpensive solar lantern that once you've paid for it, you never have to pay again. You don't have to go buy anything to pour into it to burn. Maybe in 5 years you have to buy a new battery, but for the most part, it's 5 years of free energy from the sun. And we are testing our church network. And in the case of this particular project in Ashanti Akim in Ghana, it is all churches, although we hope that soon one of our networks will include mosques as well, Muslims as well as Christians, which in Ghana is very doable since they have a good relationship. But for the most part now, we're working with 92 congregations organized into a district in Ghana with a person at the head of it, a clergy person, and 19 other clergy people who have agreed to partner in a new kind of distribution network for development. One particularly aimed at women, since they are in charge of what goes on in the family and in the household, And benefits that come to the women usually also translate to the children, whereas that is not always the case with benefits that come to the men.
So this is really interesting. You said a couple of words that I think are really relevant here, and that is network. And I think that's one of the things, one of the opportunities that social media is helping us reawaken to the power of networks, even if we're not using social media to tap into them. And the other, I think it's very intriguing here, is the role of women in adoption of new things. So I'd be interested to hear a little bit more about the women's roles.
Well, the women in Ghana, I think this is true in the city as well as in the countryside, are relatively less educated, less likely to be literate, less likely to have a meaningful cash income in what has been until recently a subsistence economy where you went out and grew stuff in on your farm and then you brought it home and cooked it and the family ate it and you didn't have much need for cash or much cash on hand. Nowadays, that's changing very rapidly, and women who don't have training for a job or a profession are more interested in learning how to better their family situation than they used to be. Many of them, as Steve mentioned, are very smart market women, traders. Many of them are farming women who take their produce to the market but aren't necessarily well enough educated or savvy enough. So the churches, I should get back to the churches. We looked around in some small towns in Ashanti Achim, a district of Ghana, and we saw that there was really nothing there in the villages that you could call a distribution network. No Radio Shack, no drugstore, not even a grocery store with a roof on it. All there really was were weekly or twice weekly markets outdoors and churches. Lots of churches and schools, government-run or church-run schools for children. So here came the idea that churches and mosques were central to the life of a village and important and housed usually an influential person, the imam or the pastor, who had some power to help bring change to the village through the women in his congregation. And the Presbyterian church that we first started working with in Potrensa, I would guess that maybe 75 or 80% of the people in church on Sunday morning are women. The pastor told me that 95% of them are illiterate. So there they are, and everything that happens there is oral. There's no literacy required. The preacher preaches. The women listen, they take whatever message that he gives them home. And by the way, not all of the preachers are men, there are some women. There's a great opportunity there to bring women, village women, into the fold of development by training some of them to be distributors, repair people for this solar lantern project, and then for subsequent technology projects that we might help to introduce.
So women here are the network, and women here are also the entrepreneurs. I'm hearing that this is an entrepreneurial public-private approach versus here a distribute and go use it thing.
Oh, yes. There are distribute and go use it distribution networks in the cities. They consist mainly of men in storefronts who sell things or men walking along the side of the road who will sell you something if you slow down your vehicle. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you are familiar with that. In the villages, not so much. It's more trading in vegetables and other produce, and not much in the way of hard goods or technical devices. So we're looking, actually, we think of the network as the churches and mosques, each with its leader and each with X number of individual people involved with it, and then at creating entrepreneurial women out of some of the women in a congregation.
This is, there's a name for it in terms of the model, a privately funded model, and hopefully then a more sustainable, or a friend of mine uses the word thrivable model.
Yeah, we really expect and hope and are planning for it to be sustainable as a business over time. It does require some startup capital just to buy inventory and get people trained and get them going and set up an office so that we have a place to put the inventory and some bookkeeping and so on. Some really simple versions, a small business system for an
So what lessons here might we think of in terms of introduction of social media?
I wanted to say one or two things about that. One is that probably everybody who listens to this podcast, or many of them, already know that in the third world, for the most part, men and women do not live in the same world. They may be passing on the street and rubbing elbows, but even husbands and wives tend to live in different cultures. They overlap somewhat, but not entirely. So when you go to look at how to bring women into the fold in terms of development and improvements in their agency, if you know what I mean, in their ability to act, it is a big mistake that I made in the beginning, was somehow thinking that the villages or the households were all of a piece. And that if you heard the man speaking, that took care of the woman as well, and it does not. So the advice I have to give is that you have to go to the women and sit with them in a sort of knee-to-knee relationship and find out what they're thinking and doing with their cell phones or whatever else they may be using, or find out why they don't go to the telecenter, even though they've been invited, or even a simple thing like find out whether if they had bicycles, they would ride them and what it would take to get them interested in doing that, something that is not done by women in Ghana anyway, and I think in other parts of Africa. So you really need to push past the men, and sometimes that's rather difficult to do. You know, they want to sit in the room with you while you interview the women. And this is very inhibiting. So getting them to move on and let you deal with women and their issues directly is sometimes a challenge, and sometimes not.
Ironically, this is true here for me in the United States when I look at engaging young women in technology, which is, again, we have to bring them apart from the boys. So there's a lesson here about gender that gender is a part of everything, and we need to be paying attention to it. So thank you for bringing and putting that on the table for us, Sarah.
And, you know, when I said that about men and women living in different worlds in, say, Africa, I think it's true all over the world. There are no civilizations where male and female roles are the same, or male and female work is the same. There's a differentiation everywhere you go. It's here in the United States. It's in Canada and France and everywhere.
Yeah.
Maybe China less than most places.
Well, thank you for getting that issue into this series of conversations. I appreciate it.
You are welcome.